whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I thought it was great. Okay. He was locking dudes down. Now, the interception numbers wasn't up there, but I was like, wow, Lenore's playing some high-level quarterback.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Yeah, anyone else?
I thought Renardo Green played well. Was it great? He's a rookie. It's tough to say that. But outside of that, Fred Warner, once he fractured her ankle, wasn't great.
No.
But before he fractured her ankle, Fred Warner was playing out of his mind.
4 weeks, give or
four
take.
Four or 5 weeks, yeah. Yeah, and the ankle
he was.
So that's about it. Devondre Campbell, we know, wasn't good. Leonard Floyd didn't have a great year.
I mean, we were down so bad. Some guy, Ian Anderson, none of us ever heard of, is out here making plays with the Guardian cap. And you're like, you know what? Maybe he can help.
Dude, I'm with the 650 here. You want a defensive coordinator that could take over the entire defense and let Kyle just focus on head coaching and offense. No more babysitting defensive coordinators. That's for the 650 on the Comcast Business Text Line. 888-957-9570 is a number. How many people think Nick Sorensen deserves another shot?
There can't be anyone. They were minus 74 in the second half.
Oh, I know.
Plus 54 in the first half.
Oh, I know.
Minus 74.
The numbers are not good.
They got one turnover after the bye, and it was a Caleb Williams backward pass fumble.
You know, a lot of people were bitching about it last season about Steve Wilks being in the booth, and, you know, they need inspiration. They need a defense coordinator who's fired up because we got so accustomed to Robert Saleh and DeMeco Ryans being jacked up there.
We got very lucky with DeMeco. He was awesome.
But, they, you know, we need somebody who's, you know, is fired up and can get guys going. Whenever they would pan the camera to Nick Sorensen, did that inspire anybody?
No.
His body language.
He's wearing sunglasses indoors.
Come on, man.
I call that the guru.
It could be anybody. I love glasses indoors. Glasses indoors is a different type of look. You got to have a different type of costume.
He did have the surfer vibes.
You know, Deion Sanders, shout out Coach Prime. By the way, Sam Lovett got me Coach Prime socks for Christmas. Pretty cool.
Did he?
He did. I'm aware of one day.
Was that at the Big 12 discount store?
Big 12. Hey. Big 12 made a name for themselves against Texas.
You remember what the socks came with, Bonte? It came with a candy?
Oh, yeah. It came with the a grape airhead.
Love, man.
It was Bonte opened it on air, and Bonte was like, why does it have to be a grape airhead?
Yeah, why couldn't it be strawberry or something, right? Why did it have to be grape? I mean, Lubman does. Poor told Lubman. You. But Lubman, man, Lubman went black. He ain't ever. Uh-huh. He's never coming back. Lubman's all about the black woman. And I ain't mad at him for that. I am not mad at him for that. Get it how you live, playa. Gus Bradley got fired last night by,
I want nothing
by
to do with
Indianapolis.
Gus
Bradley. Yeah, I want nothing to do with him, too.
Don't even suggest. I am so over the Pete Carroll scheme from 12 years ago.
I don't want
ago.
That.
Get out of here.
I don't want that.
Get out of here.
You talk about stay-at-home dad. But you don't do the glasses indoors?
No.
Oh, come on, man. That's the gangster look, man. I love it.
Douchey
no,
look.
No, it's not a douchey look, man. It's a different type of ball game. Coach Prime doing it, Guru doing it, I'm doing it. Come on, Carter laughing. Hey, man, you got to have a different type of swag to wear glasses indoors. It's a different type of look. Not the blue blockers that Carter's wearing. Talk about those. You get you some... Dolce & Gabbana, some Ray-Bans, some Pradas. Next level. Oh, legal? Okay. I got some glasses in the car. I don't even know what brand they are. And it just costs a lot of money. They look good on me, though. I got a big face. You know, you need big glasses. Ask. Come on, man. I got to get you some swagger, man. Come on, dog. Getting too square on me over there. Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Also, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. I'll address this question once, because I'm sure we're going to get it every single day in the offseason. 510 Comcast Business Text Line. Bonte, the 49ers literally have the easiest schedule in the NFL.
You can't tell me
they won't at least double the amount of wins. Now, number one, we don't know how good these teams are going to be. Don't look into that, 510. Free agency hasn't started. The draft hasn't started. There's going to be trades galore. Tyreek Hill may end up on one of these teams. What if he ends up with Carolina with Bryce Young? Holy smokes. They're going to be better. So let's not look at the strength of schedule right now. That is a dumb exercise. Not calling you dumb 5-1-0, but that is the silliest thing I've seen floating online.
So last year, the Washington Commanders were 4-13.
Exactly.
Last year, the Chargers were 5-12. Last year, the Vikings were 7-10.
Yep.
Okay, I'm just giving you some examples of some teams. Last year, the Denver Broncos were 8-9.
Pittsburgh, where are they?
I think they're actually better than, where are they? They're 10-7. You know, so point being is that, yeah, for some teams, they might still be bottom dwellers. Like, you know, New England feels like they're a little hopeless right now, but maybe they have a Washington Commander, you know, ascension forward. Maybe the New York Giants figure out a quarterback and they do something. Like, the league is so unique. Think about the Carolina Panthers and how all of us thought about them at the end of October. And now think about the Carolina Panthers Bryce and how Young, you feel about them right now.
Bryce Young's throwing no-look passes for touchdowns.
So, like, and I know, like, this kind of bleeds into the Niners. Like, everyone's like, Joe, last year you were so high on Purdy. It's like, yeah, I was really, really, really high on Purdy. And then we saw this year, and, you know, I'm a little less high on him. I still like him. I want him to play quarterback, but I've got some red flags, and I'm a little hesitant on some things. It doesn't mean that he's garbage. No one's saying he's garbage. It's just, you know, 2 years ago, you asked me about Nick Bosa. I'm like, yeah, I think he's one of the best top three players in the league. You asked me about him this year. He's nowhere near the top 10 on just his side of the ball. So things do change rapidly in the NFL. The one thing I don't want to hear about is the schedule next year. I thought the schedule opening up this year
was easy.
It was easy. And then we went to Minnesota and everything changed.
Yeah. The Jets game might have been one of the best games
the Niners played all year.
I'm not buying it.
Definitely Moody's.
Jake Moody.
I think he hit two in that game.
I'm not.
He had way more. Didn't he have like five or six field goals in that game?
See, I had him as my fantasy.
Yeah, he had like 26. Yeah, six.
I have it on my notes.
I had him. He was my fantasy football kicker. And then he got hurt. Then he got cut. Tre'Davious Ward. We'll end the segment with this. Obviously, he had a tough season. Tough season to say the least. Now he did get blessed. I think him and his wife. Mrs. Ward, they ended up welcoming a baby boy during the holidays, which congratulations to Tre'Davious after what happened with his daughter. But here's what he had to say about entering the season, and he's talking about money.
I think they went into this season thing and they wasn't going to be able to afford me based off the way I played last year. You know, if I would have matched that last year, probably would have been in one of the highest paid corners in the game. But, I mean, obviously this year didn't go my way or the team's way. But to see what the market talking about, if they can afford me, you know, it's a chance I can come back. But, you know, they may not be able to afford me. So, I mean, I just want to go to what I want and what I'm love. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's what I need right now, a lot of love. And I know the Niners love me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But in this business, you know, a lot of time money talks. But I build great relationships here. So, you know, we'll see. Honestly, I don't know where I'm going to end up at.
It sounds like he's going to be gone.
It's like, you know, Jimmy Butler, like, you know, I have no joy playing basketball for $52 million. It's like, I know it's a business and I understand all that, but God, there are times where I'm like, guys, this is like, just remember who you're talking to. Your audience doesn't want to hear about how much money you're making or how much little you're making.
Well, you know, you get asked a question. That's the business they're in. You got to answer it. The reporter's going to ask, well, what do you think?
There's a little more tact than that. You know, for example, Tyreek Hill's closing segment of what he was saying. It's like, come on, Tyreek, read the room a little. What if you don't come back? What if you do end up coming back and you don't get traded? Right? You're going to just walk back in and everything's going to be fine?
You will show up. He's got leverage. Will show up. Moody Ward. He did mention this about possibly coming back. Listen to this.
You know, I got a lot of charm in California. You know what I'm saying? I had a lot of great times, but the worst thing that's ever happened to me, that's probably going to ever happen to me, knock on wood, happened in California. You know what I'm saying? So it can just bring up bad memories. You know what I'm saying? Like every time I get on a plane to come back to California, Santa Clara, San Jose, show up here. It's just bring up bad memories, you know what I'm saying? I go through that every day, you know what I'm saying? I go home every night by myself because, you know, my girl, she don't want to come back to California because of what happened, you know what I'm saying? So it's hard being alone, and, you know, she's my strength right now. I need her, and so her not being able to be around me if I'm in California would be tough, but, you know, like I said, stuff can change. You know, I can get stronger and probably get over that.
How so? how can anyone have any, you know, opinion other than like, yeah, I respect that.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's where we're at with Moody Ward. He's probably moving on. And you know what? For both parties, yes, the money is a factor, and the Niners probably don't prioritize Charvarius Ward due to the money and due to the ascension of Renardo Green, who looks really, really solid. You're probably going to be in the market for a corner at some point, whether it's free agency or the draft. But Charvarius Ward has probably played his last snap in the 49ers uniform, and it's understandable. And that, what he said at the end there is that his wife wanted to come back to California. She's good. So he's coming back on a flight, coming back to California, thinking about the tragedy that they suffered. So, yeah, it's probably best for him to move on and move on from this tragedy, no doubt about it, to help him heal from that. I can't knock that whatsoever. And Charvarius Ward was a good Niner.
He was a really good Niner. This year wasn't a great year for him. But, like, in terms of a free agent signing, I thought that they squeezed that for everything. Like, he was a really good value. Think of some of his big games. Like, he shut down DK Metcalf. He shut down Jerry Jeudy. Like, what's the guy? CeeDee Lamb in the playoffs. Like, he had some monster playoff games. Yep. Really good in terms of, like, high pointing the ball, making plays on contested catches. I thought he was a really good Niner. This year, it's a lost year for all the personal stuff. I mean, you said it all. What can you say? I thought he was good, though.
707, interesting point here. I kind of agree with him on this to a certain extent. As I get close, you know, we've both been in this business for a while, so you get closer to players and kind of understand it a little bit. And I hear you on the money. The average fan doesn't want to hear about money or whatnot. But 707, I think that when contract talks come around and the average person looks at the money, says the players are greedy, you should stop and think about Boogie Cousins. He was a freaking force in Sacramento. One injury probably cost him $100 million, maybe more. So no hard feelings if the dudes want as much money as they can get. I would do it in a second. And I know on the flip side, somebody's going to say, well, Boogie's already rich. He doesn't need that much money. But you know what? It is what it is. I think Dave Chappelle says it all the time whenever he does stand up. I have a $50 million hole in my stomach from walking away from my Dave Chappelle show because they wanted to go corporate. Now, he's made up that money, of course. But still, whenever I lose money, I'm like, damn, I left money on the table. Damn, I don't care what walk of life you are. Carter, you feel the same way? Like, your parents, you know, hey, we left some money on the table. You're not going to be happy about it. So that's, you know, I kind of agree with the 707.
Yeah, but it goes the other way. Like, Ayuk got paid, Niners ain't getting nothing back.
Well, they'll get something back. He's on the roster. The Niners got to play themselves. You know, I'm with the individual here. Football team would be fine. They'll make that money up. We got some Shock Hog sound. We have... What else do we have? We have Ricky Pearsall, and we've got the Warriors back on the floor tonight. I do want to talk to the Warriors with Krzyzewski, get your thoughts on everything going on with the Dubs. They're still in the box in the play-in tournament. For all the Kings fans that are listening, that are hate listening, you're still out of the box. If the play-in tournament started today, Sacramento, you would not be in it. Hang that banner, buddy. That segment will be sponsored by the San Francisco Airport.
If you love Philadelphia, there's a high probability that you hate these two. It's the Morning Roast with Vontae Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Love you guys. Well, most of the time.
You know, Philadelphia really does hate us. Sacramento doesn't hate us. They like us. I mean, they got me on t-shirts up there. It's fine. KC was wearing a t-shirt yesterday with me on the shirt, light the beam. It's okay. I appreciate it. I'm not getting any royalties for it. A little ticked off about that.
Well, you got to sell some to get royalties.
Oh, they're selling up there like hotcakes. A lot of people are rocking the Vontae Hill t-shirt, lighting the beam. They love the emphasis.
You know how niche of a product that is? Hey. I mean, like, you're selling Vontae Hill, like, spoof satire, light the beam. Like, come on. Like, there cannot be. I love you, dude. I do. There cannot be a giant craving.
Don't be jealous.
For Vontae Hill, light the beam t-shirts in Sacramento.
Don't be jealous because I made a t-shirt you didn't. They're selling like hotcakes. They got coffee mugs. They got stickers.
Hotcakes?
Yeah, they have stickers.
What constitutes hotcakes? Three?
No. They probably sold like 50 already.
I love me some hotcakes. Got Mickey D's.
Can they someone made some text cash. Casey and ask them how many they've sold? Now I want to know.
You should. Stickers, coffee mugs. Kim, he used to work here at Odyssey. Shout out to Kimmy. They sold some. Boom. They got Stick Man.
We still got 957thegameshop.com. Is that still a thing?
Shout out, Danny.
I still don't have any more than Rose gear. More people on the street got more gear than me. I ain't even got no gear. But Philadelphia definitely does hate us. I will say that. They can't stand our guns. I was out there for Dumas' wedding, and a couple guys like, you're that guy. They're like, you're that guy.
You're on the T-shirt, I was listening in Sacramento. To you. You're that
no,
guy.
It wasn't
I've
that.
Seen your face.
When the Kings came to Wells Fargo Center, I saw someone with that shirt.
No. It was
a Sabonis jersey
it was,
on.
You're that guy who had to code us to freaking tell everybody what seat you were in, what section, and what row. You're that guy. It's like, yeah, I stood on that.
What you call it? The kahunas?
Yeah, I know.
Kahunas.
There you go.
Kahunas. It was a Kingstail.
I like to say kahunas. Not really a Kingstail. Shaska, you call for 4 minutes, man. When are we going to call you? We let you do story time all the time. All of a sudden, I talk for 30 seconds. We're going to call it a Kingstail. That's not going to happen in 2025. Stop it.
By the way, did you guys see what? It is 2025, so now they're starting to air the commercials on CBS.
Dude, I watched Kapalua over the weekend. My brother and I are going to play there, by the way, coming up in about a month. Yeah. And so, God, I'm just so ready to go to Hawaii.
That's the Masters song.
Yeah, I know. Kapalua used to be the tournament of champions, yeah, and they had it this weekend. It's now been rebranded, and it's the Century Classic.
When is the Masters? April?
Yeah.
Why the hell are you playing it back? We haven't even gotten through the wild card.
We've gotten commercials now from CBS, exactly. So you'll be watching CBS this weekend, Bonte, and you'll be hearing the Hello Friends theme.
You guys know how I am during commercials. I get up, I go do something else, I go eat, I go use a potty, I do what I gotta do. I don't care about no damn Masters commercial in the month of January when I watch a playoff football. And by the way, football, we get football Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Oh my God. College football playoff.
And we get a decision on Roki Sasaki.
Who?
He's the Japanese.
I know. Pitcher.
Oh, I hope I'll go to the Dodgers.
I'm kidding.
Pete Alonso could be had.
Hey, the A's might sign them. They're just handing out money.
Hold on. The A's are making more noise in free agency than the Giants right now.
they retained their own. And then they gave pitcher Severino a bunch of money.
They're having a bigger offseason than the Giants right now.
Are they, though?
Yeah. Urshela, Severino, Rooker.
Okay.
Huh? With the Giants.
They Chapman, got Willie Adames. Yeah.
No, Chapman was during the season.
Yeah, but that's essentially, it was going to be
a... Stop. They're making noise up there in Sacramento.
They were at the game yesterday, too.
They were at Lawrence the game sitting courtside.
I'd like to light the beam with every win for the A's. Like, oh, God.
Dude, the Kings, they were celebrating yesterday. I swear to God, they're going to hate them better for that January 5th game.
Did you hear what they were going to do? Brief aside here.
TC in Sacramento, I heard it came at you, man.
Who?
TC and Sack. Yesterday he called about the Kings.
Yay.
You told him, oh, don't do that.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Yeah, whatever. Nobody wanted to hear about the Kings.
We didn't want to hear about
playoff
the Kings.
Games, they're not going to be at Sutter Health in Sacramento. They're actually going to be somewhere else. That's what they're telling season ticket holders.
Where are they going to be?
I don't know. The rumor is they might be at
Oracle
AT&T.
Park?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oracle, whatever it's called now. You saw that too, Spadoni? That playoff games, Sacramento, they're not going to have them there if the baseball team that is now called the Athletics, not the Sacramento Athletics, if they have playoff games, they're not going to
there. So there's a possibility that there could be playoff games at Oracle Park and the Giants aren't involved in them this year?
Yeah.
You know what? You guys are so worried about hating on the T-shirts that got to be in Sacramento. Today's Baldy's birthday.
Is it?
Yeah. Old Time Football just tweeted, happy birthday, Brian Baldy, or caught his one pass in the career in a 37-yard game against the Green Bay Packers. Happy birthday, Baldy. Shame on us for knowing our guest. That's why Cotter stock down.
Oh, yeah. January 7th. Yeah.
Rizzotto stock up.
In fairness, we're not checking his Wikipedia page all the time.
Hey, Steven Rizzotto, by the way, is Spadoni. You know why his stock is up in my book. Steven Rizzotto came in last week.
What happened?
Oh, my gosh. He made me feel really good.
Why?
About myself. Oh, my God. He made me so...
Well, are you going to, like, explain?
I can't even get it out. I'm so excited.
Can you hear you?
No.
Quiet down.
Where are we going?
The king has something
something to say. Your Majesty, could you please tell us a king's tale from your travels across the realm?
Oh, the king's tale? What is the king's tale?
I didn't vote for you.
Well, Spadoni was filling in last week, and Stephen Risotto was on the board. I'm just like, Stephen, what did you think when you saw Lutman and I walking down to Embarcadero getting ready for the Farhad's anxiety presser the season before he got fired? And Risotto goes, well, I always see Lutman, but when I saw you, I said, oh, Bonte's coming. He's going to bring the heat, because Bonte brings the heat. And I was like, whoa, okay, cool. Wow, Risotto, you really thought that's on the reputation Bonte I have with a lot of beat writers. There you go, I like that. I see, like that, Bonte High Heat Hill. Just call me High Heat Hill. Ooh, Triple H, baby. Ooh, I like that, Shasky. This is why you're you.
I know.
High Heat Hill. Just call me the new Triple H. The black
Get
Triple
out
H.
Of the way, Mad
there's
Dog.
A white Triple H, there's a black Triple H. I'm not a black Triple H. High Heat Hill, I like that. So
instead of water bottles, you're doing like Hennessy? And shooting it into the air.
Well, I gotta be Hennessy.
Well, you just said you wanted to be the black Triple H.
Brothers like tequila too.
Okay, then do tequila.
Well, I gotta be Hennessy. No, black people are the only ones drinking Hennessy.
All right.
This is a shout out Build a Beast.
We got the grape flavor, now the Hennessy. Yeah, what's going on
this
here,
is
guys?
Crazy.
Come on.
This is insane.
You're the one that said
I don't even want to finish
black
the story.
Triple H.
Yeah, but that don't mean you go straight to Hennessy.
I was trying to paint a visual. You know when he used to take the water bottle and shoot it into the air? Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
I was saying
you
be a bottle of Hennessy.
Yeah, no.
You like the privileged stuff.
Well, that'd be a waste of Hennessy, first and foremost, if we're doing it.
Yeah, number one. No,
so continue
I love the Don
story
Julio.
About yourself.
I love the Don Julio, 1942.
Told through the eyes of someone else.
So then Risotto was like, first of all, I knew you were going to breathe the heat. So that is the reputation. The reputation of Bonte Hill out in these streets that when he goes to a presser, he's bringing the heat. He just ain't sitting on the stub, the twiddling his fingers, saying, oh, let's throw a little softball on your head. Here you go, 65 miles per hour. No, he's coming in, up and in the chin, Nola Ryan style. Not only that. So we continue the conversation. And Spadoni was sitting here cringing. He was like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're gassing him up. And Risotto goes, you know, Bonte, when we look at both stations, both radio stations, and we look around this market, you're one of the few who went the old school journalism route. You're one of the few who's like a journalist who has credibility. And I said, Risotto, you can work on this show anytime you want to. I'm looking for him to replace somebody around these parts. Stephen Risotto, my favorite rear guy ever, outside of John Tofi. My favorite rear guy ever, and Coach Buck. Maybe Shasky. But Stephen Risotto, stock up, right, Spadoni?
So basically, he said you bring the heat and you're credible on topics when it comes to the Giants, correct?
Basically, what else he say, Spadoni? What else he say?
Nothing about the Warriors, though, right?
Oh, very, very credible when it comes to the Warriors. My Warriors content is through the roof.
You guys not afraid to criticize.
Oh, I criticize. You guys don't still listen. You don't. I don't criticize the way you guys want me to criticize. You guys want me to scream and yell about the Warriors. Not going to do that about a four-time
screaming
champion.
Screaming and yelling, they're just a mediocre team.
As we're saying that loud, Shasky and I.
Hold on.
That we both believe this team can make a deep run in the playoffs.
Absolutely. And I told myself not to
that we're going to the Warriors.
500.
Now that we're talking about the Warriors.
What's that?
I got to kick my feet up for this one. I should show the camera my Griffies, the Freshwaters. I got the Griffies on right now. Shout out to everybody out there listening and watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First North Credit Union. They were 12-3.
Yeah.
And you had the gall to bring up power rankings about the Warriors.
It was at the time. It weren't even my power rankings.
This guy,
Law
Murray, I loved it. It made me feel good about the Warriors. And what did I say that you said a week later when I gave you a call and said, you know, they're 12-3, but we should wait on this.
Well, this is why I told myself at the beginning of the year I wouldn't think that they could go on a deep run unless they were 12 games over 500. See, I put certain parameters in place. It was almost like a speed restrictor to keep myself from believing in the team a little too much. And now with Jonathan Kuminga out, my thoughts on the Warriors are, boy, whew, they miss him. They miss him a lot.
So not only do they miss Kuminga, but we're all going crazy over Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield is struggling.
Well, yeah.
30% from three in the month of December. Anybody miss Clay yet? Not only that.
Well, Clay's hasn't been that great either.
When you guys say I'm the Warriors homer, and I tried to reserve Jeff and say, hey, everybody pump the brakes a little bit. Let's just chill for a second. They're 12-3. Well, let's just wait on it. If I was the homer that you guys all paint me to be, I'd be like, oh boy, we go to Western Conference Finals, 12-3, this and that, blah, 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 blah. But no, very critical to Golden State Warriors. The non-scoring lineups, the two non-scorers on the floor, who needs to shoot, who doesn't. There's a lot of things going on with the Golden State Warriors, and I don't think, and I've come to this conclusion here, and we'll get to the calls in just a second on the Golden State Warriors as they take on the Miami Heat. This is going to be a tough game. This is going to be a real tough game for the Golden State Warriors without Jonathan Kuminga. We'll see what Dennis Schroeder does tonight against Terry Rozier and Tyler Hero. But Miami, they're going to be well-coached under Eric Spoelstra. They were running a lot of zone defense yesterday. And with the Warriors shooting splits right now, running the zone defense and shooting the three ball, yeah, they had the back-to-back games against Philadelphia and Memphis. But then you see what happened against Sacramento.
Philadelphia's terrible.
Terrible. Terrible.
I can't believe Lowry's in the starting lineup for them.
Aren't you happy they didn't go after Paul George?
Oh, well, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, aren't you
no
happy
doubt.
That it happened?
No doubt.
To my point.
Although he did in the half court, he can make some buckets.
He can get some buckets. But I'm almost coming to this conclusion. I don't think there's a trade out there that's going to catapult the Warriors into the top three right
no.
now.
No. What do you mean? I've been there for a couple weeks. But the reality is this. Everyone needs to recalibrate. The days of championships are long gone. Now it's like, hey, if they make the playoffs, that'd be a great season. And no one wants to hear that. Because you know why? Because we've now entered this zone. It's the same thing with Purdy. Purdy's good. He's not great. And he doesn't suck. He's good. He's good, right? The question is how good and all that. Okay. Same with the Warriors. They're not terrible, but they're also not a championship contender team. They're in the middle. And if they make the playoffs, I'll be happy. But people can't accept that because Steph Curry happens to be on the roster.
Well, there's an interesting article right now at ESPN. Tim Noun. Steph Curry, the NBA's most confounding paradox. And right now the Warriors are struggling. There's no doubt about it. They're battling just to be above 500. And I'm going to say something, 888-957-9570, and I know a lot of people are going to disagree with what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think it almost behooves the Warriors just to stand pat until the summertime. Because I don't think there's a trade out there. And I think having all assets ready for the summertime to make a move would be better for them. There would be a lot more stars on the table, I believe. There would be a lot more traction to maybe move some guys and to match some money or whatnot. I almost believe that the Warriors, because I don't want to trade Jonathan Kuminga. Let's get that clear.
Well, I think Vucevic could help them right now.
But what is it going to cost?
Well, who cares? I see a bunch of guys
What if it costs you Jonathan Kuminga?
No, well, Jonathan Kuminga is a non-starter. I don't think Vucevic is going to cost you Jonathan Kuminga. I'm looking at some of the deals that are out there that have already been executed right. This year, and it feels like the asking price is a lot lower than what we all right. thought. Now, look, you're not doing anything with Moses Moody. You're not doing anything with GP2 right now. You're not really doing anything with Kevon Looney. I don't want to lose Kevon Looney, but at the same time, you got to give to get.
Right.
I'm willing to sacrifice. Like right now, they're probably looking at a middle first round pick. If I had to, yeah, I'd probably just throw in that middle first round pick for someone like Vucevic and then match the salaries. Yeah. They need another big.
They need a stretch five. There's no doubt about it. They need some scoring punch. Vucevic is having a hell of a season. He's shooting 56% from the floor. 44% from the three-point line. That is insane. And a double-double. Not going to get much defense, but it's all good. You got to get buckets. I don't know if there's a deal out there. So I'll hear you on a smaller deal with Vucevic. Fine, whatever. But I'm almost coming to the camp where I'm just like, dude, I'd just rather wait until the summertime where marketing's back on the table. He's back on the table. There's other players back on the table. And we're laughing, but it's not like, first of all, I'm going to say this. I am so out on Jimmy Butler, it's not even funny. I was out before, I'm even more out now. And I know a lot of people said, oh, Miami, the way they're treating their player, they're not going to be able to get played. Please, Miami will be fine.
Wow, who wants to pay 37-year-old Jimmy Butler $50 million for another 3 years after this one?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't.
That's what I'm saying. I don't either. All right, let's go to... Let's get this out the way. We'll get back to the Warriors. 2024, roster of the year. It's Tony in Oakland.
Bonte, I'm calling in because that kingly music, your King Arthur music was on. But first, fess up. Were you at the Russian with Anna? Were you at the Russian Christmas for January 6th yesterday?
No, we were... laying low because I was battling an illness.
Oh, you were? Oh, I thought you were at the Epiphany, right?
No, no, we were chilling, man. We're getting Chester ready for school. Yes, I do.
No, okay. No, you don't.
So, what I wanted to say is the reason why we all listen is because that's why they play that kingly music for you. Is because you're like the Polaris star, the North Star
that
the Big Dipper points to, right?
Yep.
And the Polaris star is when we have the alpha, the male, and the beta, the female. The two stars have the energy that goes straight down into the North Star or the Polaris star. And what's interesting is that, you know, reason why Campbell is doing so well with Detroit is because that dude is kind of like a Polaris star, but we can all be that. Because the interesting thing is with the Big Dipper, that star, it's always a perfected star, the Polaris, but it changes. So it could be this star or that star. So that's the problem with the teams, and that's the reason why you don't really need to you need to bring in a Polaris star that will get the guys going, right? That gives them the stuff. Are you with me?
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm following all along, Tony. Hey, Tony, I'm here with you. You're one of my, you know, Tony, I love it because you don't hate on me. My guys over here hate on me because they got T-shirts of me in Sacramento. And they're just jealous, Tony. They're not in the zone. You know, they don't have it from within, right?
Yeah, Bonte, you could go anywhere. So, you know, what happens is when you're in that alignment, and see, the stars were given to us, like the Big Dipper and all that, merely as images so that we can do the same thing within ourselves, right? Because when you, like a Purdy, I know Shasky doesn't really, sometimes Purdy doesn't really ring true, but remember, he's dealing with Shannon. If he had Campbell, do you know how good he would be? But the point is that a good coach makes that polarity star into something mighty, and then Purdy always has the stuff, and then you have union with the author and giver of life of the universe, right?
Let me tell you something, Tony. Anna loved meeting you at the Doobie Awards. She loved meeting you down at Laughing Buck Brewing. She came only for you, and she loved, she's still raving about you right now, Tony.
Well, yeah, she's really, you know, I took her in, and she's really a sweet person. You're quite lucky to be with her.
You got that right.
And you guys, you know, you're like the perfect match because, Bonte, that's the reason why, you know, how I said the other day, it doesn't even matter if we, like, if we, there's all the static with cars or whatever in the background, people, your voice has this intonation. You're like a Polaris star, and everyone can become that because everyone's born with the cornerstone in them and the little light, and all they got to do
but you
is
know what?
Raise
no, Tony,
thing up.
Not everybody knows how to utilize the cornerstone to that light. You know, not everybody knows how to do that.
Well, yeah, and Bonte, you've obviously done some work, and we've had more than one life in past lives and this life, right? And then you can be this kind of peaceable thing that everyone swirls around.
Hey, Tony, you have a great day. I love you. Thanks so much for it.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, Tony.
Oh, man.
It is interesting that she said that you know, so the Epiphany, I went to church
Eastern
on Sunday.
Christian tradition, something like that, Christmas feast, blah, blah, blah.
It basically, it commemorates multiple things, depending on which, you know, sect of the religion that you're in. But it's to commemorate the three visitors to Jesus and Jesus' baptism and whatnot. And so it's also called Three Kings Day. So it is appropriate you took that day off.
Thank you. Wow, I didn't know that. Man,
it's actually, in San Francisco, it's the Four Kings Day.
It's Four Kings? Who's the Four Kings?
Well, Balthazar is one of them. Bonte, clearly.
Yes.
Then there's other two. I don't know.
You guys say it, not me. Well, that's why when people...
They have the gifts, Bonte. Well, the gold, see, frankincense, and myrrh.
Yeah,
Bonte brings the Fezzy Fowl or, I don't know, Molly. There you go. It's his gift. By the way, Chris Mullen joined Mark Grandy last night. I joined it mid-show. It was an audible. They were doing best of the game. Chris Mullen, the Hall of Famer, if you guys missed it, joined Mark Grandy. Find that on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah. Twitch.
Just out of nowhere?
Yeah, it was an audible.
He didn't go through his friend Bonte to book him?
Well, they're promoting the pickleball. The pickleball tournament they were promoting.
No. You don't need to go through me for that. Please,
You seemed very surprised.
No, I was surprised. Yeah, no, I thought Willard and Dibbs.
Oh.
But he went through Grandy from 67, because I know T.O.'s going to join Willard and Dibbs today at 4 o'clock, and I believe T.O.'s going to join us at the Gatehouse for pregame live today at Chase Center, 6:30, because T.O., who we had on before, is really getting into pickleball, and he wants to be great at pickleball.
Interesting.
And so Bully and T.O. yesterday were down in Redwood City, and Bully loves T.O. He loves T.O. He's like, dude, he's a great guy. He loves T.O. So.
And Mully was talking about with Mark Grandy, as you were mentioning there, Bonte, that T.O., like, when he gets into something, he gets into it. And he's had, like, a trainer and a coach for pickleball as soon as he picked it up, like, 6 or 7 months ago. And he's already made vast strides, according to Mully.
Interesting.
I love this, too. I miss the show sometimes. Sometimes I miss it, especially the text line. Because you guys throw this King stuff at me. You guys do it. And then I get all the blowback on Twitter or social media. I know it's a joke. But the DM sometimes like, you call yourself a king, you little puck. I'm like, dude, you guys need to chill out, man. Gosh.
That's when you respond. I didn't call myself that. The people, guys did.
I don't respond. I've been, Matt Nahiga for years been telling me, don't respond. It's beneath you. And I'm like, you know what? Finally, I came around to it. It's like, you know what? It is beneath
me. Do you guys know anything about Emperor Norton? Do you know who Emperor Norton is in San Francisco lore?
Yeah.
He's a whack job who called himself the emperor and walked around with his own money that he wanted others to realize, which wasn't even real money, okay?
Yep.
It's a joke. This is a San Francisco thing. So king. No, you're like Emperor Norton. Well, you have your own set of currency.
But like you get a guy like this on a 925, you folks blow my mind. This is sports talk, correct? Why do you have us listening to Tony? My resolution for 2025 from here forward is to stay on the other station. Screw you people. Well, you know what, 510? Screw you too. And go listen to that other damn station and be bored for the rest of the 2025 year. Golly. People take a chill pill. Oh, my Lord. If that's what happens. That's what happens to today's society. We want to fire guys left and right. Antonio Pierce was great yesterday at the podium with the starter jacket. Now, who the hell knows if he's going to keep that job in Las Vegas? But he was so – I felt the 100% when he said, when we win, everybody's like, oh, AP this and AP that. And we lose, it's get his ass out of town.
Yeah, that's how it works.
The same thing how it works. We got to stop that. You and I have to be better and use this platform to say, hey, look, not everything is black and white. There could be some gray area here and there.
Yeah, there can. But if you've played sports or coached at any level, like when you win, I eat a little relief. You still get back to work. When you lose, you fret over it forever. That's how it works.
No, I get fretting over it, but we don't need to fire everybody and replace people or change stations all the time. Good Lord. Oh.
Well, we could just talk about the A-gap for 22 minutes.
I don't mind talking about the A-gap. A-gap's important. You're thinking about something else. I'm talking about the A-gap on the football field.
Stop!
Yeah, even Carter's confused by that one. I think you're losing. The A-gap, interior pressure, controlling the A and B gaps in the playoffs is very, very important. Very important. So, anyway, the Warriors, they're concerning right now. There's this article in ESPN. I'm trying to dive through here. Let me guess.
I'm just, without even reading the headline, the article is speculating about trades that could or couldn't be happened by the Warriors and the dilemma that they face with the end of Steph Curry's career and maybe a run at another title. Is that the premise of the article in some way?
Probably. But it's very important. I told you, the All-Star break's coming around, and if the Warriors continue to struggle, if they continue to struggle, we're going to come around the All-Star break. And people will be asking, Steph, what's the deal, man? What's the deal? And I'm like, man, what is the deal? I hope the deal is he sticks with the Golden State Warriors for the entirety of his career. But the point is, they're struggling right now. And they're going to go on this four-game road trip. And I know nobody around here is watching Detroit Pistons.
Ivy got his leg blown off the other day.
Well, you know
really
what?
Sad.
It was sad. But you know what? The Pistons are now 500, folks. The Detroit Pistons are 18-18, in case you haven't been watching. Anthony Edwards dropped 53 on our ass, and they still lost by 14 to the Pistons. Why? Because Kay Cunningham is on a heater. 40-9, he's averaging 24 points a game, 9.5 assists, 7 rebounds. The Pistons are rolling right now. So you got the Pistons, Pacers, Raptors who stink, they don't want to win, and they have the Minnesota Timberwolves in the road trip before welcoming back Jordan Poole to the Bay Area as he comes to town. And he's averaging career highs in every category. Three-point percentage, field goal percentage, points, blah, blah, blah. But this road trip without Jonathan Kuminga and tonight's game against Miami is very concerning to me. In all seriousness, he's the most athletic player on the team.
He's going
to the rack all day long. He's starting to figure it out defensively. Not having Kuminga for this stretch – I'm concerned about the Doves.
Well, okay, so your point about that is that is a good one. I think I can make a pretty sound argument. He's the second most important Warrior this year.
Possibly.
Now, no, Wiggins, I think, has an argument as well. If Draymond Green is still your second most important player, I'm talking about both ends of the floor, like, you're not going to be a good team. No one wants to hear that out loud. Yes, he's a Hall of Famer. But currently, if he is your second best player, your team is going nowhere. And I'm not ripping him. I'm saying it's not good enough. It's just a reality. You have to acknowledge where we're at. He's 35 years old, right? So they needed Kuminga to continue to ascend. And him being out for 3 to 4 weeks is a massive blow. Where are they going to get bench scoring from?
I know.
Where are they going to get athleticism from?
I know.
Where are they going to get another perimeter defender with GP2 on the shelf?
Yeah. I'm with you here. You talk about bench scoring, and I'm looking at Buddy Hield over his last seven games. Buddy Hield is in a funk right now. His last seven, he's averaging 5 points a game. He's shooting 21% from three and 28% from the floor in 19 minutes. And I'm not singling out Buddy Hield because it's a byproduct of spacing. And when he puts the ball on his floor, he struggles a little bit. But you talk about bench production, they have the number two bench in the league when it comes to points per game. But when you're oscillating between starting lineups, you had 18 different, 19 different starting lineups, and guys are coming in off the bench or starting to come off the bench. And all of a sudden, you need more from Lindy Waters III, who I think is playing well as of late.
But he's a backup.
He's a backup, but you need bench production, right? Buddy Hield's got to play better.
Look, you know what the number one need is for the Warriors? And look, you could say, Joe, this is a need for almost every team in the league. They need a big two-guard who can defend and knock down shots.
Yep.
And look, duh. Like, I know, the whole league. But you had the best one in the league for almost a decade in Klay Thompson. And obviously, he's not that currently. And they have failed to find that next guy. I was hoping Moody might evolve into some version of something. I just don't think that's ever going to happen, right? And so, whether it's the draft, whether it's a trade, whatever, you need a two-way number two guard to play alongside Steph Curry for long stretches, who's bigger. And like, I thought Schroeder was a nice addition. Schroeder's a backup. You need him as a backup, not as a starter.
Yep. I don't know how he's going to – maybe Schroeder gets flipped before the deadline. Who knows?
I thought he was going to turn a corner. You know, Thursday, I thought he played really well. And then
Saturday, he played really well.
And then it's like,
Sunday was a rough one.
It was.
For everybody.
It was.
Outside of Stephen Curry. For everybody. So, we got a few minutes here. I do want to play this as the Warriors do take on the Miami Heat later on tonight, right here on 95.7 The Game. You can listen to it. Tim Roy will be on the call alongside Tim Tolbert, or you can watch on television with Fitz and Buki. Watch us on the pregame show on NBC Sports Bay Area. Do what you can. But this is a big game for the Warriors. Playing the team off the back-to-back, back end of a back-to-back, who played double overtime last night. I know it's a short drive from Sacramento. Probably drove down to the city yesterday, but damn, got to get a win.
You know what's sad is that I'm watching Tyler Hero just in the year. He's having a really good year.
Yep.
You know, you look at his year and it's like, dude, we had our Tyler Hero. Remember when him and Maxie, who we just saw the other day, Jordan Poole were all coming up for extensions and they were all being compared to each other. And it just sucks because we don't have Jordan Poole anymore.
We don't have Jordan Poole no more. How would this team look? Oh, I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to go there today. Don't even want to go there. Damn. I do want to play this. Let's laugh a little
that
bit
Chris
for you.
Paltry,
Bay Area is Draymond Green.
Wait, you wanted to play that? Oh, I hate you.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to play
that. I thought you were setting something up.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are under Shai Khan. They're looking for a new head coach. They still have Trent Baalke, the GM.
Oh, God.
Trent Baalke's sticking around, Shotgun?
If this head coaching candidate was to say, hey, I think the medical needs to be reevaluated, the health and wellness, if they were to say, I would like to reevaluate the front office and the general manager, what would your response be?
My response would be, how would you improve it? And then if it is credible, you want to do it, okay?
Now, mind you, he did that with Trent Baalke on the call. So, Trent Baalke, I don't think any coach that comes into Jacksonville is going to watch you. I think it's time sticking for Trent Baalke.
Has it ever worked when, you know, you keep a GM and then you bring in a head coach and it, like, that's like a match made in heaven. Like, I feel like it has to be at the same time when you hire the coach slash GM, right?
Ryan Poles of Chicago's going to, we're going to find out from him.
Jason Chicago. Light.
Jason right? Light, Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
They've actually done
that's a good one.
I'm just asking.
No,
just,
that's right. a good one.
Yeah. I'm just throwing out, like, it's off the top of my head.
Now, was he there with Arians too, though? Was Jason Light?
But they had,
Light's been there for a while.
He's been there for
I
a
think
while.
Like a decade.
They brought in, you know, elevated, promoted Todd Bowles.
I mean, it's worked well for Jerry Jones and Mike Brown.
Boy, Mike Brown, man, not looking good.
Howie Roseman's another one. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Howie Roseman's been there for quite a long time. He's
Lurie
hired multiple
him.
Coaches.
Yep, Jeffrey Lurie loves him. And they've done a good job. Now, this is going to be tough for Jacksonville. It's going to be tough.
Is that the least desirable job right now of all the openings currently?
Jacksonville?
Yeah. Titans have the number one overall pick. They're cleaning house. Well, actually, they're keeping Brian Callahan, their head coach, second
year. I don't think that's the worst job.
I think the worst job right now, this is not open. It's not an open job. Yeah. I think the worst job right now is working for Jim Irsay in the Indianapolis Colts. That is a dumpster fire front office.
Yeah, you read that article in The Athletic about them? Oh, my gosh.
And he's going through some health stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see him coming out on the cart.
Not good.
65 years old.
Not good.
They just fired Gus Bradley. They're going to keep Shane Steichen. They're going to keep Ballard. They're going to keep Ballard their GM. I like Jacksonville because you got a receiver top flight, and I still believe in Trevor Lawrence. I do. But you got to build around him, man. You got to protect that young man. They haven't done a good job of protecting that young man. All right, Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
What you got, Fast Five?
My final thought is this. Pete Alonso's still out there. Now, I think Bryce Eldridge is the guy, you know, for this team at first base long term. But if it's only going to cost you somewhere in the realm of what Freddie Freeman, because that's what it sounds like. No one wants to go above what Freddie Freeman got. Freddie Freeman from the Dodgers got 6 for 162. Matt Olson got 8 for 168. So if you're saying I can have Pete Alonso, let's say 7 for like 180, because you got to throw the Giants tax on there. I mean, that's not a bad DH first base combo.
I'm not going to get my hopes up.
I'm just throwing that out there, Giants.
I hear you.
Like, I'd get in the mix.
I hear you.
Get in the mix. They just spent $950 million the Mets. I don't know if they want to spend the other $180 million.
Steve Cohen has no limit.
I know.
He has no limit.
He is. He's Master P.
All right. By the way, I was watching a podcast over the break with Ricky Williams and Fatty Manziel.
Oh.
Ricky Williams.
Was Ricky reading his stars to him?
Nah, he wasn't. But he does do a lot of yoga. Yeah, he does a lot of yoga in Tulum. Man, no, Ricky's good, man. Ricky's good. I miss Ricky Williams. Anyway, my final thought is hopefully tomorrow we'll talk about a new defense coordinator and a Warriors win. That's my final thought. We need that in our life. We need it.
We need a Stephen Curry, like, 50 burger. I'm calling it tonight.
I
need a Stephen Curry 50 burger.
Wow.
I think that's what we're going
to
get.
Game 7 of Sacramento Kings.
No pressure.
Back end of a back-to-back for the Miami Heat in double overtime. You can't lose this game.
I need you to sack Kings of Miami Heat.
No Jimmy Butler. Come on.
No, they were up 17 in the fourth. They should have won that game last night.
And they didn't.
They should have won the game. They didn't.
Pat Riley losing his touch?
Well, I don't know about that. The Godfather. They got a good roster in Miami.
Hey, Jimmy Butler saved him from the Dion Waiters, Hassan Whiteside debacle. Right. People forget.
Every team makes bad moves. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect.
Jaime Jaquez.
He's good. He's
tough. I like him.
He's tough.
I'm not Dion
Waiters, NBA champion, by the way.
Oh, Dion Waiters? Yeah.
Y'all,
it's my house.
Had that game winner. Game winner against the Warriors. Go to Carter, what you got?
First of all, I want to say hi, Mom. Second of all, I want to say...
is your mom watching? You watching right now?
I think she might be listening, yeah.
She's listening?
Hi, she's on the way home, I think.
You text her Fast Five's coming up, listen.
It's a lot of pressure.
No, but she said she was going to be driving in the morning tomorrow. I said turn on the radio, so if she is... Hi, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Mom. Second of all, I want to ask you guys a question. Do you think this weekend is one of the best weekends in sports? I think it's number two best weekend in sports for me.
What's number one?
The Masters.
Oh, my God. The Masters is the number one sports weekend?
100%.
Oh, my God. That is so lame.
I played the club twice.
It's so lame.
Let's do it, Chaz.
The Masters is the number one sports sports weekend of the year?
It is.
100%.
No, it's not. That'd be close.
You have the NBA final. Oh, NBA playoffs
gosh.
Usually start right that weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
I remember distinctly a Baron Davis New Orleans Hornets game-winning buzzer beater followed up by a chip in by Phil Mickelson.
Oh, my God. It's
preach,
so
Askey, preach.
You remember that?
This weekend is the best. The second best. Next week is the best. Divisional round weekend is always great in the NFL. Then you got championship weekend. What, are you kidding me?
Yeah, but
best weekend in sports, the Masters?
You get more games this weekend.
Oh, my gosh,
USC?
The Masters.
I watched
with all these
USC
dry-ass
the
personalities on the golf course.
Muscle
they got no
the
Tiger
coach.
Woods out there.
It.
They got no must-watch. The ratings have been down. Come on. Forget the Masters.
Steiny and Guru must-watch next. Can't
the
wait.
Best weekend in sports.
Steiny's got the flat stick.
That's why Rizzuto's stock up. Carter's stock down.
Bad take.
Here on the roast. Now it's Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity. I hold more on to go. Rizzuto would never have that take. You'll get the fastest internet to all your devices.